Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, Dan. And it's that time of year again in an Olympic cycle. The qualification times and qualification standards are out, and me and Dan are going to be taking you through them all on this week's episode.
Yeah, I mean, there's some very, very quick times out there. Some slightly easier than others, but some are going to be very hard to hit. We'll talk about that as the podcast goes through. But first of all, first port of call will be the selection process, kind of similar to what it's been in the past, but we'll go through it step by step.
So in case you haven't seen the announcement, or we've essentially beaten you to reading the policy document, the Olympic trials for 2024 are going to be at the London Aquatic Centre from the 2nd to the 7th of April. Now, as a side note, hopefully me, Dan, Propulsion Swimming, we are going to be there from start to finish, providing world-class coverage from poolside. Now, these Olympic trials are the event where swimmers can qualify for the Olympics. It's not like other sports where you can qualify multiple times. I believe it's here or nothing.
Yeah, usually it's the one-time thing for Olympics. I know because of COVID, they opened up to, was it two, maybe three different events. I know Laura Stevens did it on the very last attempt. That was sort of one of the highlights for her. She may not think of it as a highlight, actually, but it was a highlight for us. So yes, it's kind of it's all your eggs in one basket type feel back to what it used to be.
Okay, so the standard kind of information you need to be aware of, British swimming are going to take a maximum of 30 athletes. So there's no obligation for them to nominate 30. They can take a team that is smaller from, well, we'll get into the times, like we said in the intro, but they don't take swimmers here for experience. You've got to be in with the chance of making a final, essentially, for you to get on the plane. Or get on the train to Paris, whichever it is. Now, they can select a maximum of two athletes per event. This is an Olympic standard, and one relay per relay event. Okay, the important part then, how do you get selected for British swimming at the Paris 2024 Olympics? Essentially, there is a selection criteria and there is a priority to that criteria. So priority number one is if you finish first in your event and you hit the nomination time, you're on the plane. Simple as that, you're selected.
Yep.
Number two, if you finish in the top four finishers of the 100 meters freestyle and the 200 meters freestyle, and your combined time with the top four swimmers hits the nomination time for that relay, you get selected as well, if you haven't already been selected by winning that event. Seems quite weird to put that quite high up on the selection priority, but it does make sense given how much weight British swimming have put towards relays in recent years.
And with it being the 4x1, especially on the men's side, 4x1, 4x2, there's a very strong chance of gold. So yeah, that should be high up on the priority list.
Okay, so the third priority of the selection is another nod towards relays. If you win the 100 meter stroke events, so your 100 butterfly, your 100 breaststroke, your 100 backstroke, and 100 freestyle, but you should have already been selected. If your combined time reaches the medley relay qualifying standard, and that includes the mixed medley, you will get priority for selection, essentially. That makes sense? For example, just to put a scenario in people's heads, for someone who may not have already qualified by winning, so let's say Kiana McInnes wins the 100 meters butterfly, but she misses the qualification standard. So she wouldn't have been selected on number one, but the women's team for priority three could get the medley relay qualification standard, which would ensure her selection at this point. There's no need for discretion. Essentially, the policy allows for her to be picked.
Yes. Relay seems to be quite keen, as they were at last summer's Worlds.
Yes, definitely. I think British women do notice there's a high priority or a high chance of medals in these events. So a little caveat to priority three: if a swimmer wins multiple of these stroke events, I don't think I see it happening. I can't think of any swimmers off the top of my head who would do this. So if a swimmer wins the 100 backstroke and the 100 breaststroke, then the second place swimmer can be created to create the fastest time of selection, and that swimmer can go on the discretion of the performance director.
Yes, that's right.
So it makes sense, because you can't pick someone who's won both events to do the relay in two spots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yep.
Okay, selection criteria number four is a little weird that it's come this so early for me. It is a discretionary pick for the performance director and the head coach. So they may use performance against the nomination standards or the nomination times to select that swimmer. So essentially, if Adam Peaty doesn't finish first, he finishes second, but he gets the qualification standard, this is the point that the head coach can say, well, he's a potential Olympic medalist, we're picking him.
Yeah. I mean, I agree there needs to be some discretion, but it seems quite high up, especially when the next one we talk about is less of a priority than this one, which we'll get onto. Let's get onto that now.
So number five in the consideration priority, the second place finisher in the open final of each individual events, if not already selected in the previous four consideration criteria, subject to the maximum numbers, so subject to 30 swimmers not already suddenly being picked, hits equal to or the nomination standard, then this is where they get nominated. So the discretionary picks could essentially come ahead of a second place finisher, is what I'm reading here. I'm happy to be corrected by someone who knows legal wording or maybe someone at British Swimming, but that's what I'm reading.
Yeah, so that's the way I'm kind of reading it, which is why I'm not quite sure why this one is less of a priority than the discretion that we just spoke about. So like for example, let's just say 53, you have three swimmers that have just hit the nomination time. Let's say Matt Richards, Jacob Whittle, Ben Proud, for example. Ben Proud has a nightmare and he comes third and he goes 20, well, he hits the time, but he finishes third. Jacob Whittle finishes second, Matt finishes third at first. Ben could potentially have been selected ahead of Jacob because the discretion is a higher priority than finishing second, is how I'm reading it. Again, please, like Scott just said, please correct us if we're wrong, but that's the way I'm reading it as well, which is, I think, bizarre. I think the second place finisher should be higher than that.
Now, as part of the second place selection criteria, if athletes essentially don't hit the nomination time, they're going to use a ranking system for percentage away from the nomination standard so that it's fair with every event. And those ranked furthest inside get priority for consideration to the team off those who've missed the nomination standard. Some tough maths that I'm not going to work out on the day. And then the final point is just open discretion. Essentially, to a maximum of 30 places, the performance director can make additional nominations. That's how it ends. So there's a lot of discretion in there. We've talked about it. And yeah, slightly weird that a second place finisher is going to have to rely on either the selection criteria before finishing second, like the performance director is going to have to back them up and the head coach is going to have to say, yeah, good for them to go, or hope that no one gets selected ahead of them in that event.
Yeah, it's a very strange one. I completely understand the last one. If you've got spaces to fill and then the head coach wants to take up to 30, of course, and we've only got, let's say 24.
Extra relay spots.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fine. I'm just a little bit concerned with the 5.4 and 5.5. They should probably be the other way around. The discretion stuff should be at the bottom of the list, I would say. First place and second place really should be up there in terms of priority, and the relay spots as well.
So what I would say, if all of these nomination criteria that we've spoken about, this has been recorded upon release of this document, there is a line right at the end of the policy saying the world-class performance swimming leadership team may amend selection policy at its discretion. So we saw at the previous British trials, they amended some policy to get, I believe it was the women's relay team selected, because actually they missed it in terms of the policy they had written. So we could have spoken about stuff that come trials gets written over. It's a big fail-safe. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it, but I kind of get it in case they've royally messed up on a nomination time and they're allowed to change it.
Yeah, I mean, they did this, like you just said, for the relays, and we're going to go on to the relays. Obviously, their priority. I don't really understand why we need nomination times for these relays. If we've got four girls, four boys, they're going to swim. I mean, we're almost guaranteed a final. And at that point, anything can happen in a final when it comes to relay takeovers, DQs, whatever else. Guaranteed, like, sort of 4th, 5th, 6th, and then you're in a chance of a medal, you know? So, yeah, I don't know why we have times for relays. That's my biggest gripe.
Okay, should we get to that? Because we're going to start looking at times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, you've discussed it. So, we've talked about the criteria for selection. We've said the criteria is available to change at whoever's discretion, which is quite funny. But then these nomination standards. So these are the times that swimmers around the country are going to have circled for the next however long this policy has been made public for. Mm. So, yeah, you've discussed the relay ones. There are relay nomination times that the top four swimmers have to hit. I don't understand why we made such a big push at the last World Championships to qualify our teams by IOC standards. So yeah. By the Olympic standards, we pushed really hard to get these teams qualify for the Olympics. There was only one that really missed, and that was because they got DQ'd. Mm. And they're probably swimming in Doha to go get qualified. Why then do we need to set times to say the relay teams need to hit? Because we've put such a priority, like some swimmers missed individuals for relays. We set such a priority in qualifying. We've now said, okay, now we need to hit this time. I think maybe we just need to show a little confidence in the relay teams that we have pushed so hard to get qualified for the Olympics. Let's just say that's enough. And then let's say the top four finishers go. Let's not give them a time that they need to hit.
Yeah, I think it's in a way good that they have a time to hit. But no one's looking at the relay times. They're concentrating on their own individual event. So it's almost, again, a little bit pointless from my point of view. But that's I don't really understand it, to be honest. We don't need it. But it's good to have that sort of...
Essentially, it's a gauge there for the performance director when selecting the relays and making sure that if they're taking four swimmers for a relay, they are doing well enough rather than selecting four and then the second place finisher in an event where you could finish silver at the Olympics doesn't get picked. Maybe that's the logic with it. So the nomination standards, they've got to hit this time so that you're not taking an 8th place relay and 2nd place Tom Dean in the 200 freestyle isn't missing selection in that event.
It's all very confusing. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think every relay will be taken. Every relay will probably make the final, and then some have great chances of medals, if not gold, for the men's freestyle teams. Yeah, I think ultimately we're thinking too hard about it in the end.
I'd maybe debate you on one or two of the women's relays. I think maybe the 4x1 medley might be quite hard to hit.
Well, I mean, we'll get into it. Let's get into the individual events now.
Okay, so the individual side, we'll start on the women's side because there's some eye-raisingly fast times, really fast times. So should we start with the freestyle events then? So for the 50 meters freestyle on the women's side, they need to hit a 24.65, 100 freestyle, a 53.55, 200 freestyle, a 156.85, and a 400 freestyle of a 404.98, 800 freestyle, 825.84, and 1500, 1601.95. Now, while we have no clear definition of where these times come from, I think logic dictates it's the time it takes to make a final at a world event, or it's like a percentage away from the world record. I think we believe these times have been calculated in the past.
So, yeah, I think it is based on the world records. Like, for example, Titmus has just hit the 400 free world record, so that time will be harder to hit to qualify because, you know, times are getting faster around the world. And that's probably on the freestyle side of things, sort of women, that's probably the hardest time to hit to qualify, actually, looking at it.
Yeah, it's not like we're looking at this selection for the women's freestyle and going, yep, there's two there. It's tough.
Very hard.
So the women's freestyle, Anna Hopkin, her PB is a 24.34, which isn't far under that time. And she's the only swimmer who's gone under that time. Like, closest behind her is Isabella Hindley, as far as I'm aware. Then the 100 freestyle, the only swimmers below it right now are Anna again and Freya Anderson. Like, there's no one close. So it's a shootout between these top swimmers, and they've got to go close to PB to like qualify. So it's a fully tapered meet. It's no holding back and no swimming through to the Olympics.
Yeah, you have to go full training, full taper for this, because if you don't hit this time, then you're not going to the Olympics. Like we said at the start, you have one chance. Mm. It's not like Tokyo where you have three chances now because of COVID. It's very much one chance. You've got to swim. You've got to perform.
I'm going to ask you this. The women's 400 time, that is good. And to make it in the women's 400 freestyle of these days, you've got to go sub four. Freya Kolbert's time right now is a 4:06. Do you think she can get down to this time? And do you think she targets the 4:03 given the strength of the 4IM in her schedule?
It's a difficult one because does she also target the two back? And then that opens up a whole different sort of can of worms. I think the 400 IM is her number one, I would probably say, as well as the 200 freestyle, especially when the relay is involved as well. The 400 free is difficult. And I wonder if she's going to choose between that one and the two backstroke, of which one does she go for? Because I think we'll get onto the backstroke in a minute. I think the backstroke is a little bit more likely for her to qualify time-wise, nomination time-wise, than it is the 4:03. So that's where I'm thinking. So I'm not quite sure she will target it.
I think she's a swimmer who can swim multiple events, like without a problem whatsoever at these meets. As long as there's no clashes at trials, like we don't have the schedule yet. I see her swimming all of those events that you've mentioned. I just think this is quite a tough qualification time to hit. And if I'm honest, she's the only swimmer I see within a shot of hitting the nomination standard.
Yeah, Franzen's had a good go at 400 freestyle last year. Again, I don't know if she'll target that. She'll target the 1 and 2 freestyle, I would have thought. Difficult one, the 400 free. 4:04.9, basically sub 4:05. That's a very tough time for her to hit. She might do, like, let's say, the heat of it, but then to be able to go to the Olympics, I think you still have to do it in the final, but then discretion might come in. Who knows? That's my thoughts. I don't know if she's going to target it, but we'll see. We'll see.
And then, obviously, those distance freestyle times, they're fast because of Ledecky. Like, that's as simple as that. It's going to be
the way it is.
If you want to swim distance at the Olympics, you've got to be close to Ledecky, according to British Swimming. So you're going to have to be good.
No one's close. So there you go.
Okay, the stroke events then. Let's go through the backstroke then. So the women's 100 backstroke is a 59.89. There's plenty of swimmers in this country who can get that. Women's 200 backstroke is a 2:08.91. Again, I would say there's a fair few swimmers who can get under that mark as well. So for the 100, we're looking at Mehdi Harris, Lauren Cox, hopefully Kathleen Dawson's back to her best after a year out with injury, and she made a comeback last year. Katie Shanahan could also potentially get close to it. I think that's going to be a real dogfight when we get close to trials. And the 200 backstroke, I've said so many times in this podcast, it's a weird event internationally. The top three are miles away, but to make a final, 208 will get you there. Like Katie Shanahan, Kathleen Dawson, Freya Kolbert could easily get under that time.
Yeah, the 200 back is a weird event. I mean, you only have to go, I think, 2:11. You make the final. It is really bizarre. So, of course, if these girls are going 2:08.9, which is the time they've got to hit, almost guaranteed a final, which is so weird to say. But I foresee Katie and Freya probably doing that 200 back stroke and getting the top two. It all depends what Kathleen does, you see. It's difficult to see.
We're recording this very early on in the season, I would say. So when it comes to the actual Olympic trials coming around, we will do a full preview and we'll have season's results and we'll be able to give a proper preview then. But essentially this podcast is to go through the times and how tough some of them are and how easy some of them are.
None of these women's times are easy, I would say. The 100 backstroke is going to be close. There's going to be some that scrape in. Some of them just miss it. I think it's going to be one of those sort of showdowns, I think. But again, we've got, let's say, three or four names that could potentially hit the time. And then it's going to be, it's got to be top two, isn't it? The top one has made it, let's say, because of the medley relay. The medley relay consideration, thank you. When if you're finishing second, that's tough. You don't want to finish second.
No. Moving on then to the breaststroke. So this might be the event where the only way to qualify is actually through the medley relay consideration times, because to get nominated on this standard is a 1:06.31, which is very close to the British record. The 200 breaststroke is a 2:23.04, of which no swimmers are anywhere close right now, really.
No, I know Abby Wood has done it before. She qualified for Tokyo
with it.
I don't know if she's swimming two breaststroke right now. Yeah, again, I don't know if she's committed to it. I think she's going to do 2IM. She might even concentrate on the relay events as well, the 2-3, maybe the 100 free as well. Not sure. Kara, I would say, is probably our best breaststroker right now. But even then, she's going to have to work really hard to get those times. British record, basically, in 100, like you were saying. And then a 200 breaststroke, she's got to go, like, I don't know, 2 second PB just to qualify. So it's tough ask, but one to watch, definitely.
100 fly, again, no swimmer has been under this time, so 57.17, which is a big leap for a lot of the girls. The 200 fly, a 207.96. There are some swimmers around that mark, so that one looks like not the easier mark to hit, but it looks like the way that swimmers like Laura Stevens, Emily Large, Kiana McInnes are likely to make the team beyond the medley relay selection.
Yes, I agree. The 200, again, it's not easy. 200 fly, 207.9 is not an easy time to hit.
That's not what I was saying.
Okay, right. We just have girls that are capable of doing that time, obviously. The 100 fly is harder, but there are girls that will give each other a race. That is a really exciting race, even though they may not hit the time. It's going to be great showing. And of course, when the medley relay is on the line, you want to win that event.
Essentially, yes. Then the IM events, the women's 2IM is a 210.62 and the 400 IM is a 437.84. Both times that are capable for top two swimmers in this country, I would say. We should have two swimmers selected for each.
Yeah, we should do. You're right. Yeah.
Okay then, Dan, that is the women's side done. Let's take a look at the men's side. So same again, I'll go through the freestyle times. 50 freestyle, a 21.88. Men's 100 freestyle, 48.06. Men's 200 freestyle, a 145.96. Men's 400 free, 345.43. 800, 747.8. And 1500, 14.54.29. In terms of the pedigree of British swimming right now, especially when it comes to like 200 and below, those times should be getting hit.
I would expect that, yes. Especially the 200. That's in a weird way, relatively easy for us in this country at the moment. And going a sub 146 back in the day, that would be good going. That would be a guaranteed final, which obviously is better than the final now. So, yes, that would be, I would agree with you, from 200 downwards there. I wouldn't say they're easy. It's just that we've got the swimmers in those events. It's the longer distances where we're a little bit short, if you like. But those times are... Are they hard to hit, would you say, those longer distance times?
In the grand scheme of things, like the 400 free, a 345 in world swimming actually isn't that hard to hit. I think British swimming are just behind the curve slightly in 400 freestyle. 800, Dan Jervis is going to have, like, you're asking him to challenge the British record there, aren't you, for him to go under that time?
He's going to have to hit a PB.
Yeah, which is so pretty much British record. He's very close to it.
Yeah.
Then 1500 again, he's going to have to go around the PB time. But like the 1500 for me, like Dan should hit that. The 800, let's see what form he's in when we get to trials and we'll put a prediction on the table then.
Yeah, the 800 is always tougher. I said it at the world trials as well. The 800 seems to be harder. Why? Because the world record is ridiculously fast in the 800 free. That is why. But yes, I think he's more suited to the 15 anyway, if we're talking about Dan Jervis. So I think he should target that. But yeah, we seem to be behind the world in terms of distance swimming at the moment. And we're going through a bit of a distance golden era, aren't we? So that's probably the reason why it's so tough.
Stroke events then, backstroke, 100 back is a 53.68, 200 back a 157.28. So 4 years ago, 100 back, I would have said that's pretty fast. Like you struggle to get some swimmers under that. Now, I think backstroke in this country is in a pretty good spot that a lot should challenge both that 100 consideration or 100 nomination time and the 200 nomination time.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to this event because we've got a handful of swimmers that could potentially challenge that time and then challenge each other to finish first. I've got no idea who's going to finish first in that race, and that's the beauty of that event. But we'll bring that up later on. But the time itself, 53.6, is definitely doable for maybe four or five of these guys. So expect quite a few of them to be under it. It's just whoever places a hand on the wall first, because you know, as we keep saying, the medley relay is up for grabs as well. And then the 200 is an interesting one. I don't know what I think about this 200 one, because obviously Luke's got the PB, but he was slightly off form last year, so we'll see how he gets on. But in terms of the actual time, we've got three guys under it at the moment, and then Cam's not too far away as well. So we could have another. Yeah, exactly. We could have another handful of swimmers there as well. So we're looking quite good. It used to be our weakest sort of stroke when it came to the men's medley relay, but it seems to be
it's coming back.
We've
around.
Got a bit of depth in there. Yeah, definitely.
Breaststroke events, 100 breaststroke, 59.45, 200 breaststroke, 208.95. Both really within the capabilities of the top breaststrokers in this country. I think for me, it's maybe do we see swimmers like Archie Goodburn, Greg Butler, maybe challenging either or of those marks and maybe putting some pressure on if there's an out of form top James Wilby or Adam Peaty. See what happens. Again, like yeah. In the grand scheme of British swimming, those times are fairly comfortable compared to the women's side we've just looked at. Those seem comfortable to me.
100 wise, I think we'll be okay. The 200 is slightly more challenging. I know Wilby's got a quicker PB than the nomination time going in. He hasn't quite been on the sort of PB form of recent, but we'll see how he gets on. But yeah, we should be taking definitely one for each of those events, hopefully two.
I'd say more than hopefully two for the 100.
Well, yes, I'm thinking more two, but yeah, yes. Yeah.
Fly then, the 100 metres is a 51.56, 200 is a 1:54.97. That's what happens when Milak is almost going sub 150. That one's going to be tough, the 200, to see anyone. It's going to take some monster PBs. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if someone really goes for it, or they just settle on winning and seeing how they go from there. The 100, I'd say that should be comfortable for the likes of Jimmy Guy, Jacob Peters, maybe even Mildred could get down to that. That doesn't seem in the realms of impossible. Like that seems like first and second get there and get on the team, really, for me.
For the 100, yeah. Yes, I think so. I think they'll be at top two and they go, that kind of scenario. From the 200's point of view, I think it's quite good because we've actually got quite a few youngsters coming through. Yes, they may not be at the time of your 154.9 to be able to qualify on the nomination, but they might get a bit of discretion to get experience if they're within percentage, you know, based on what the criteria we just talked about. But yes, they're going to have to hit some big PBs, like the range of 2, maybe 3 seconds to qualify, which is a big ask. That is a big ask.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about in the intro how British women don't take people for experience to Olympics. So
yeah,
if
shame,
you're wanting that to be the discretionary, I don't think it's going to come. I think you've got
to. Depends on percentages, how close you are.
I think you've got to get pretty close to that, and a few of them are quite far off right now. And then we're finished with the IMs. The men's 200 meter IM is a 1:57.49, and the 400 is a 4:11.9. Comfortable times. I still don't think anyone swims it in a 4 AM. Like right now, we're still well behind the curve in the 4 AM. I don't quite know why. Maybe we dig into it slightly closer to trials. But the 200 easy. Two swimmers should be under that.
Yeah, and we kind of know who those two swimmers are as well. I assume they will finish top two and they will be on the plane. They'll be on the plane anyway, I imagine, for other reasons, relays mainly. The 400 IM, I don't know. We discussed this in our previous podcast, whether we concentrate so much on the relays and the 100s and the 200s that the 400s kind of get disregarded. I wonder if that's why they're suffering from that point of view, because this is kind of the same on the women's side as well. The distance side of it isn't quite firing, you know, even though the 4 AM is working for Freya and Katie, for example. So yeah, don't know, maybe it's a relay problem, let's say, but I'd still rather have a strong relay, I think. But yeah, it's just one of those events that it might go through a phase, like the backstroke events, for example. We're coming through the end of that sort of dark period where we didn't really have anyone. And now suddenly we have a handful, a plethora of swimmers. So hopefully it'll be like that.
Absolutely. So rounding out then, there are relay selection times. We have said that we're not too concerned about them, but I will read them out for everyone anyway, just so that you know the times that the quartet of swimmers are going to have to hit. So for the 400 freestyle on the women's side, So for the 4x1 free on the women's side, they've got to hit a 3.36.4 combined, and on the men's side, a 3.13.04 combined. The 4x2 women's side is a 7.51.89, and on the men's side, a 7.07.4 combined times. Like we said, the top four finishers in these events. The 4x100 medley is a 3.56.89 for the women, and on the men's side, it's a 3.33.15. And then the mixed medley relay to round things out is a 3.44.10. So we will dig into those times probably a little bit closer to trials in terms of like combinations of should they hit it, should they not. I would say personally, they should all be makeable.
I honestly, if they make it or not, I think we'll take a team anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, whatever. It is what it is. Yeah. we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Okay. Rounding out then, Dan, nomination standards, tough, easy. What do you think, as a summary, what's your initial thoughts leading into Olympic trials in 2024?
Some are harder than others. I think the most notable one is probably the women's 100 breaststroke, where you've basically got to go a British record to even qualify. We haven't got a swimmer that has hit that time just yet, so that's probably one of the harder ones. But then you have some, not easy, but you know what, comfortable times for some of our swimmers, like the men's 200 iron, for example, that shouldn't be a problem. Overall, I actually don't think they're too bad. Some are just a bit too hard, just probably because of the world records. I think that's partly down to it.
I think it's a conception. I think you're thinking they're hard because British swimming aren't at that mark, which might be more about the standard and depth of swimming in those events rather than the time being fast on a world scale. Like in the worldwide picture of things, if we're saying, oh, no swimmer's going to get close to the 200 butterfly on the men's side, a 1.54.9 in the world scheme is not fast. I think it's just the state of British swimming in those events where we're saying that's a hard time to hit.
Well, yeah, every nation goes through their ups and downs, different years, of course, and we have, I wouldn't say troubles, but we, you know, our weakest events at the moment is a 200 fly, 400 IM, you know, the distance freestyle events. That's where we need to work on and develop, you know. So, but we're doing quite well when it comes to the hundreds and 200s, I would say, and the backstroke, for example. So, yeah.
I would say for me, these nomination standards aren't difficult, but you're asking swimmers to be in top form and top shape, which should be expected of them anyway. I don't think you're asking too much of your top swimmers.
Well, if you kind of roughly speaking, these times that you have to hit are Olympic final times, roughly speaking, which is then really the aim for British swimming. Yep. So I can't say they're too far wrong, to be perfectly honest with you. It's just that, like you were saying, we struggle in certain events just because we haven't quite got that swimmer or the depth in it just yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually like, there'll probably be a lot of comments on the Swim Swam comment articles, come Olympic trials, or why aren't British swimmen taking their fastest swimmers? I actually don't have that much of an issue with these.
No, I think they're fine. I actually think they're quite good times to target, to be perfectly honest with you. Yeah, I think they're all right.
Yep. Okay, so that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimmer podcast. If you have any thoughts on the nomination standards or, in fact, the selection criteria that we've gone through to make the British swimming team at the Paris 2024 Olympics, let us know in the comments section on YouTube. But until then, me and Dan will be back in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.